The information in this podcast is provided for education and research information only. It is not a substitute for professional health advice.
If you're trying to get pregnant, or you are pregnant, and you feel a little bit overwhelmed by all you need to know, then this is the right podcast for you. Welcome to the show. I'm Bridget Maloney.
And I'm obstetrician Dr. Patrick Maloney, and this is The Kick, your expert-led podcast that delivers the essentials of growing a baby. Make sure you head to our website, growmybaby.com.au, to get some awesome free tools like our Pregnancy Knowledge Checker to help you feel like you got this.
Hello everyone, I'm Bridget Maloney, and today I'm bringing an expert in nutrition for women in perimenopause and menopause onto the podcast. This might get you thinking, why is Bridget talking about menopause on the Kick Pregnancy podcast, and where is Dr. Pat? This year, we want to bring you lots of different experts to broaden the depth of topics and knowledge on the podcast. One way to know whether your expert is an expert in the area they are talking about is that they stay within their scope of practice and scope of knowledge. A red flag is if your expert, let's say on social media, and I know we bang on about social media a fair bit, but like that's where most of us get our information from, posts or advises people in an area that they are not qualified in. If you take anything away from our podcasts, it is to know how to assess the quality of information you are consuming. So you won't hear Dr. Pat talk with the same authority about exercise or diet or, surprisingly, even menopause, because it's just not in his wheelhouse. Let's talk about menopause. We thought this was an appropriate episode to do because our average listener is aged between 28 and 44. And while we know that you are listening to us because you're either pregnant or trying to get pregnant, premature and early menopause can impact 1 in 100 women below 40, and we'll talk about these parameters with our guest. And for most women, perimenopause can start in your 40s. Menopause is a mystery for many, but after listening to this, not for you. So let's go to one-on-one on menopause and talk to Kylie Pinwell. Welcome, Kylie.
Hi, Bridget. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, what a blast to have you here. I'm excited to talk about menopause because I'm probably going through it.
Yeah, you and I had a conversation
Exactly. So our listeners know, Kylie is an accredited nutritionist and host of the Hormone Hub podcast. This is for women in perimenopause and menopause, and she helps support women balance their hormones, reset their metabolisms, and better manage stress to help them feel happier and more energized. What a great thing you do.
Take it in my stride, but it's, you know, I think it's an area that we're not talking enough about.
Yeah.
It's this, you know, we need to be having the conversation.
Yeah.
For sure.
And, you know, stop the whispers or even the sort of embarrassment and maybe shame about this life stage.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think when we're younger, we sort of tend to think as, you know, menopause is this old lady thing. And then, you know, when you sort of hit your 40s and mid-40s and you're going through perimenopause and you sort of still feel like you're a 22-year-old, it's like, well, hang on a second, I'm not an old lady.
Yeah, that's right. No. So I think for our listeners, if we could go and sort of define menopause a bit more, and if you could start with premature menopause.
Yeah. So premature menopause is when your final period happens before the age of 40. So that is, you know, and just to sort of like clarify menopause. So menopause is when we officially haven't had a period for a year. So this can be harder for, you know, women who are on the pill, have got a marina, have, you know, had an ablation, you know, for whatever reason. You know, it can be harder to sort of pinpoint, but, you know, officially you haven't had a period for your year. So premature menopause is when you haven't had a period and you're younger than 40.
People at this stage say they've gone off the pill, their period hasn't returned, but then they've gone off the pill because they want to start trying for a baby. If this is this stage of life for somebody, is this sometimes misdiagnosed or underdiagnosed?
Yeah, absolutely. And I hear time and time again that women go to their, you know, their GP, and their GP instantly dismisses them as, oh, you're too young.
Mm.
You know, because the GP has in their mind that they've got to be over 50. So, you know, I speak to women who are like 47, 48, 49, definitely in the later stages of perimenopause, and they're still dismissed.
Yeah, wow.
Certainly, you know, and I think also too, there can be a crossover with a lot of other symptoms as well. A lot of other conditions. So if you have a history of polycystic ovaries, thyroid conditions, if you've got amenorrhea, you know, due to like overtraining and undereating, all of these things can, you know, interfere with, you know, a regular ovulation and a regular period. And also too, it's a busy time of life for a lot of women. So, you know, we might be in jobs that we love, you know, building careers. We might have, you know, we might have already had children. So we've got younger children. Our parents are getting older, so their needs are changing. So, you know, there's a lot of sort of, there's a lot going on at this stage of life. And I think, you know, when you sort of look at all the different reasons, the different things that are going on, it can definitely delay the diagnosis for a lot of younger women. But I think the biggest problem is they're just not being heard and they're being dismissed as too young.
Yeah. And is the term premature interchanged with early, or are they different? If someone's in early menopause, is that different from premature?
Yeah, so premature tends to be younger than 40. And then early menopause is generally when your final period happens between, say, 40 and 45. And then, you know, the average age for menopause, so you haven't had the period for a year, in Australia is 51. But really anywhere between 45 and 55 is what we can consider, you know, dare I say it, normal.
Yeah. It's a big age range.
Yeah, I know. It is a big age range. And if we think, you know, just like we all started our periods at different times, you know, we can all finish our periods at different times. So there's no, you know, there is a wide age range. And just like, you know, the onset of our menstruation can happen, you know, like you hear of girls as young as 8, sort of up to, say, 14 or 15, I guess, is the average. And likewise, at the other end, there's a wide age range as well.
Okay, so for those people that are, say, below 40, or it's said, you know, people are starting to suspect one of the reasons they're not getting pregnant could be because of premature menopause. Do you know the sorts of tests that they would be then going to have?
Yeah, so certainly a, you know, 100%, I would be starting with a pregnancy test. You know, that would be where I would start first. And, you know, fingers crossed, that's the case. The next step would be to, you know, have your hormones tested. So certainly we'd be looking at estrogen, we'd be looking at prolactin, FSH, LH, just to sort of see, you know, are you, you know, where are you? Because certainly if you are menopausal and your ovaries are not producing hormones, you know, they are a very specific level. If you are sort of somewhere in your cycle, you know, it's very different to a menopausal level. And then certainly, you know, there's options for, you know, ultrasounds to sort of like check that your ovaries are functioning. You know, you want to check that your tubes are clear, you know, all of those sort of things. So, you know, that the physiological side of it.
Kylie, could you just go back a little bit and tell us what some of those acronyms like FSH stand for?
Yeah, sure. So when we're looking at hormone testing, we would be looking at estrogen levels, we would be looking at prolactin levels, FSH, which is our follicle stimulating hormone, and LH, which is our luteinizing hormone. So these are, you know, typically all of the hormones involved in ovulation, and, you know, what we would be looking for if there was early or premature menopause.
And is somebody within their rights for to ask their specialist, their GP, or if they're with a gynecologist at that stage, to say, could this be menopause, or how do you think is the best way for them to approach that question?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, we're the best advocates for our own health. So I think if you're, you know, and unfortunately so many of us go to Dr. Google, so you probably diagnosed yourself already with, you know, all sorts of things. So I think it's certainly worth going to your, you know, healthcare practitioner and saying, this is what is, you know, occurring for me. This is what I think might be happening. You know, can we test? And, you know, you're the biggest advocate for your own health. So, you know, you, and if you feel dismissed, go and find another doctor, you know, until you get someone who's actually going to listen and sort of take on board, or hang on a second, maybe there is a problem that we need further investigation.
Yeah. And I've heard the term premature ovarian insufficiency. Is that a term that you could describe for us?
Yeah, sure. So, yeah, I know. I love it. And ovarian failure.
Failure, like, yeah. I tried to not use the word failure, but I did find it P-O-I.
Whoever names these things, like, I'm sure it was some dude.
Well, actually, I saw someone say, we don't call it erection failure. We call it erection dysfunction.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. I know. And yet they managed to label, you know, female specific things with it's like vaginal atrophy. It's like, seriously? Okay, so going back to your question, premature ovarian insufficiency, definitely, so it's when your period stops suddenly at an earlier than expected age. The causes are, you know, unfortunately not always clear. And in about, I think, 60% of women, you know, there is no sort of cause that we can sort of pinpoint. So early sort of signs might be irregular periods. So, you know, maybe you've had regular periods and then all of a sudden, you know, they become sort of further apart. Maybe they become closer together. But, you know, you're not cycling the way that you would be normally. Certainly coming off the pill and your periods don't return within sort of 3 months. And, you know, if you have been trying for a long time and, you know, nothing, you know, you're just not falling pregnant.
Good. All right. Well, if it's found that someone does have ovarian insufficiency, what are their options now? And this is a question that I can ask Pat or a fertility specialist, but in your view, what's the option for that woman now?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, wanting to, you know, become pregnant and, you know, as a mum, you know, I understand that, you know, it's just, I guess, something that we're driven to do. And, you know, I think it's definitely not worth it giving up. There are different hormone therapy options available, and this is certainly something that you would sort of speak with a gynecologist or an endocrinologist about. And then, you know, there are different options as well. So there's, you know, IVF using a donor egg, there's surrogacy using a donor egg, and, you know, there's always foster care and adoption as well.
It's not in somebody's mind. I went in my mother's group, somebody had there first, obviously that's why we're in the mother's group, and then she started trying for a second, and we were in our 30s, and she was diagnosed with premature ovarian insufficiency, and it was just so foreign to all of us, and it was heartbreaking for her. They were very happy with their one child in the end. They went down a couple of different routes and it didn't work out for her, but, you know, this is not what the news that you want to hear when you're in your 30s.
No, not at all. And I think that's why it's really important to have the conversation. So it sort of normalises it, or not normalises it, but there's more awareness.
We can have understanding for each other. Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So just briefly, one more thing about premature and early menopause. Are there any risks to the mum? Like, is there a problem going through menopause that early for that woman?
Yeah, look, from a health perspective, you know, certainly from a mental health perspective, there's a period of grief because, you know, you are sort of, you're grieving that loss of fertility. But then from a health perspective, certainly, because estrogen is very protective. So it's protective of our cardiovascular system. So, you know, it does help prevent, you know, cardiovascular events and, you know, heart attacks. It also protects us from the impacts of or the effects of insulin. So, you know, an insulin resistance, it definitely, we all know about menopause and osteoporosis. So it's very protective again of our bone health. And there's also studies coming out that, you know, that drop in estrogen can have long-term impacts on, you know, our cognitive well-being and, you know, potentially, you know, protecting us from dementia as well.
And the longer that you're in menopause, do you have a greater risk for all of those things?
Yeah, you do. But, you know, there's certainly hormone replacement therapies, which are, you know, have been shown to be quite safe, you know, again, under the care of a practitioner, you know, to make sure that they're, you know, they're suitable for you. But yeah, they, yeah, the longer you can ovulate. So we think of ovulation as the, every time we ovulate, we're putting a little coin in our future health, you know, a little deposit in our future health. So certainly for women who go through menopause early, they are at higher risk of health risks.
Yeah. All right. So I could imagine that another time that you may not have your period is if you've had your baby and you're breastfeeding. And for some women, not me, I wasn't one of these women, but for some women, they don't get a period while they're breastfeeding. So are there any signs or symptoms that would make someone question whether they are also going through early menopause in that situation?
Yeah, absolutely. Because so if we were to, you know, we're breastfeeding, if we were to fall pregnant, you know, we're going to have super high levels, our estrogen levels will just jump right back up. But typically, you know, low estrogen, which means, you know, your ovaries just aren't producing enough estrogen for you to have a period. So night sweats would be sort of a first one, but a lot of women can experience low estrogen during breastfeeding and still have night sweats. It's not uncommon. I certainly remember, particularly with one of my kids, just waking up. I used to have to sleep on a towel.
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
I would just wake up in the night just sweating buckets, and that's due to low estrogen. But what would be a warning sign is, you know, if you're getting hot flushes during the day. So that's a sign of, you know, your ovaries just aren't producing enough estrogen. So, you know, if you're sort of, you know, getting, you know, and it's sort of describe it as sort of like a heat from within that sort of moves up from your chest and sort of comes out. So not related to weather, but, you know, you're just getting these hot flushes during the day. So that's not typical during breastfeeding. And also another sign would be, you know, dryness in your vagina. So that lack of lubrication, you know, painful sex. So again, that's a sign that, you know, estrogen is low, because if we think of estrogen as a good lubricant, you know, that would be another. So they're probably the two biggest ones to kind of go, hang on a sec, you know, what's going on?
This is just a good pointer too about how much you get to know your body.
Yeah,
I don't know about you, but, you know, you sort of just run your life when you're in your 20s and, you know, then you decide to have kids or whatever in your 30s, and then all of a sudden it's like, okay.
What's going on?
Yeah, what's going on?
And we're not taught to tune into our bodies, which I really think we should be, and, you know, pay attention to what's going on.
Yeah, absolutely.
I always say to my clients, you know, pay attention to the little taps on the shoulders before it becomes a slap on the face.
Good. That's really good advice, Kylie.
Yeah.
Okay, so I want to move now on to perimenopause and menopause because, yes, we do have a lot of women in their 40s listening to this podcast. First off, I want to ask, is there anything that someone who's probably late 30s, early 40s, is there anything they can do with their health, with their lifestyle that will put them in good stead for their menopausal years, if that's the correct terminology?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think I'm a big believer that, you know, it's like you would if you were going to have a baby, you know, the healthier that you can be in terms of, you know, balanced nutrition, you know, are you eating enough? Are you eating the right balance of nutrients? Are you moving your body in a way that feels good? Are you hydrating your body, drinking enough water? Are you getting enough sleep? Are you managing stress? So all of those kind of like fundamental elements of health that, you know, hopefully we're sort of thinking of before we go to have a baby, you know, it's something that we should be doing anyway, but definitely, you know, if you're a healthy weight, if you're moving your body, if you're, you know, getting on top of, you know, any sort of potential health conditions, the earlier you do that, the smoother the ride through menopause will be. But I also wanted to say, you know, not everyone, menopause doesn't have to be horrible. And, you know, for 30% of women, you know, we're going to sail through and really not even notice. So we're just going to wake up one day and go, oh, that's weird. I haven't had a period for a while.
Yeah.
Count back and go, oh, you know, I'm done. I've hit my 12 months. For probably the majority of us, we're, you know, we will have mild to moderate symptoms that will impact our day-to-day quality of life. So we might have, you know, brain fog. It could be, you know, fatigue is a big one. You know, it could be insomnia. It could be, you know, bloating and just the way our body responds to food has changed. It could be, you know, we are putting on weight. It could be, you know, any one of a number of things. So, you know, these are going to be symptoms that are, you know, annoying, but they're also things that we can address as well. And then there is going to be about 30% of women who are going to have a really rough time. And, you know, these women are going to be impacted by probably they're going to feel like every single symptom under the book, you know, and you know, have a really rough time, and it will impact the quality of their day-to-day life. So I think it's if we sort of have a look at, and in my experience, your menstrual history is a good indicator of how you might go through menopause. So if you've always had an issue with your cycles, if you've always had, you know, heavy, painful, debilitating cycles, you know, I'm sorry to say, there's a good chance that, you know, you will experience some of the more debilitating symptoms of menopause. If you had like sailed through life with, you know, your periods haven't been an issue, you know, you're less likely to have an issue through menopause.
And what about your mother? Like, is there any sort of generational pattern?
You're listening to The Kick with Dr. Pat and Bridget.
Hi everyone. Well, we've got a milestone coming up and we want to celebrate it with you, our listeners. May 7th, we're going to launch our 100th episode of The Kick, and guess what? We couldn't have done it without our listeners. To celebrate, we are asking for you to tell us your biggest tips about getting pregnant, being pregnant, becoming a mother, birth, anything that you think future listeners might benefit from. And we want 100 voices. As a gift to you for adding your voice, we will give everyone a whopping 50% discount to any of our programs. You can use this yourself or gift it to a friend. To add your voice, go to our website, growmybaby.com.au. We will then put a selection of the voices together for our 100th episode. That sounds like fun, doesn't it? So the website again is growmybaby.com.au. We are so excited to hear all your biggest tips for future mamas just like you.
There is and there isn't. A bit like, you know, falling pregnant, experience of pregnancies, you know, it is all different. Certainly speaking to, and I think, again, it's great just to have the conversation, you know, of your mum's experience, your auntie's experiences. If you've had an older sister go through it, you know, her experience. But certainly, you know, lifestyle can be, you know, different. So if you're, you know, if you drink more or they drink more, you know, if you're, you know, body weight, you know, are you a healthy body weight? Were they a healthy body weight? You know, things like that can definitely put those nuances in that genetic kind of pattern for sure.
Yeah. You and I know our ages. I don't know whether I've told our audience my age, but
we are a great age.
We are a great age. And I know that I have got some symptoms, totally manageable. My joint pain is a little painful, and I've developed a bit of tinnitus, which is really super annoying. Both sound like such old lady issues, don't they? But when is the right time to go to get help for that?
Yeah. Look, as soon as it becomes a problem, I think as soon as you notice it and you kind of go, because this is the thing, we shouldn't have to push through with our health. So, you know, if we're feeling inflamed, if we're feeling, okay, I'll confess something here as a nutritionist. So, yeah, so I just, before we jumped on the podcast, I had a call from my GP. I'd just been to have regular blood tests. He's like, your ferritin, which is your iron storage, he said, it's not okay. Because I'd gone to him saying, I'm really tired, I've got brain fog, I can't think, is perimenopause, I don't know. And he's just like, your iron is like tanked, so no wonder. And then I was like, oh, but my diet's so good and I just don't know. And he sort of said, well, you know, are your periods really heavy? And I was like, no, not really. And I said, oh, I did donate blood like a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, wow.
Just gone, stop.
Yeah.
You know, and like, I should know, but still we're not good at tuning into ourselves and going, actually, I need to address that. So, yeah, I think my blood donation days are over, probably until after menopause.
Yeah, I think if Pat was here, I'm sure he would say this, but they're a common reason people come to see him in, you know, their late 40s is because of heavy bleeding. You know, they're surprised that their periods are getting heavier.
So then
the next thing is iron levels.
Well, I think we should have a whole other conversation on perimenopause because, yeah, where I can talk through the stages of perimenopause and that heavy bleeding can be definitely early stage.
Yeah, perimenopause. Wow. There you go. So that brings me to this question then, which is what do you think our community at large should know about menopause?
Yeah, I think, you know, we need to destigmatize it and we need to, you know, make it a normal part of the conversation because 50% of the population will have a natural transition through menopause. You know, it's normal. And, you know, I think we need to sort of take the shame out of it. You know, certainly it can be a period of grief for a lot of women because, you know, it's that winding down of, you know, our fertility and it's moving into a different stage of life. But that can also be very empowering as well because, you know, at that sort of age and stage, you know, if you've, like for me personally, a lot of the women I work with, you know, our children are teenage or, you know, like young adult children. So we can see light at the end of the tunnel. So, you know, and that is exciting. It's sort of, you know, and you know, we can step into that next chapter. And also too, you know, we've got lived experience. So, you know, we're still the same person we were in our 20s and 30s, but with a lot more experience and wisdom and knowledge under our belt. So, you know, we've got that to sort of take forward into the next half of our life. And what I sort of like to remind women is, you know, if we're going to live, say, to 90 or 100, and we're going through menopause sort of in our certain 50, we're only halfway through.
Mm.
So we've got the second half of our life, which is pretty exciting. And then when you look back at, say, the Queen, who was still horse riding, you know, and out walking the week she died, it's like, that's the way I want to go out.
Yeah, I love it. Like that's such a good...
I want to be the woman who is out, you know, probably not riding a horse. I'm not very good at that now, but, you know, active and, you know, doing things. So, you know, I think we need to sort of totally rewrite the whole narrative around, you know, menopause and aging.
Yeah,
for sure.
I agree. I know one of our cohorts are women who are either in their early 40s and they're having their children now. They're starting and, you know, maybe they've had one, maybe they want two. And then they get to the point where those kids are in their really running around stage. So they might have young children, perimenopausal, and also aging parents.
Yes.
And we know that they're a cohort in our listener group. And
the trifecta.
The trifecta. And I suppose I just want to acknowledge them and the amazing job that they do.
Oh, absolutely. You know, and I hats off to you. I think it's amazing. And I think, you know, self-care is the number one thing. You know, make sure you are looking after you. And I think as women, you know, we make sure everyone else is okay. So are the kids okay? Is mum and dad okay? Is, you know, we're likely still working, you know, part-time or full-time, you know, so we're giving out at work. So I always say you can't pour from an empty cup. So at some point, you know, you're going to burn out if you keep sort of giving and giving and giving. So make sure you stop, take stock, you know, catch up with a girlfriend, go for a walk, you know, make sure you're nourishing yourself with good food, you know, having a decent bedtime, you know, doing all of those like self-care, you know, which there's fundamentals to make sure that you're nourished so you've got the energy then to look after everyone else.
Kylie, it'd be so remiss of me not to ask this question. Is there a menopause diet?
Look, I diet? No, I hate diets. No one should be on a diet ever.
Yeah.
But what I always, sort of what I advocate is real food. So fresh food, real food, whole food. If you're, you know, hydrating your body with plenty of water, if you are, you know, have something green on your plate at every single meal, menopause is really important, you know, to keep up your protein intake. So protein, breakfast, lunch, dinner. We can't afford to wait until dinner. That's going to preserve our lean muscle tissue. It's going to help, you know, balance our blood sugar and just sort of balance our mood. So it's going to keep us sane. Go for, I guess, along the lines of the Mediterranean diet is perfect. And you know what? If Friday night is pizza night in your house, enjoy the pizza. You know, enjoy the connection for what it is, rather than, you know, worry about, oh, I ate pizza and that's 3,000 calories. You know, forget the calories. Focus on the quality of food.
Mm. I love that. I mean, I love whole foods, real foods. I may have grown way too many zucchinis at the moment, so I'm looking for recipes for zucchinis.
Yeah. And that's a big, like, you eat food that makes you feel nourished and light and energized. And, you know, think about before you eat the food, how it's going to make you feel. Like, if you know that eating the burger and the fries is going to make you feel bloated and heavy and lethargic, you know, think about that before you eat it. Mm. You know, I'm not saying don't eat it, but, you know, choose what you want to, what you want to eat.
Yeah. Ah, fantastic. So, Kylie, as a nutritionist, do people come and see you to help them get pregnant?
Yeah, and I think because I work with, you know, women in their 40s and 50s, so I do get women who come to me and their ultimate goal is to fall pregnant. But generally, you know, when we start, is there's a lot of underlying health conditions. So they might come in. Getting to a healthy body weight is one. But again, there's normally drivers for that. So, you know, we work together. We make sure that we're balancing out their blood sugars. So we're sort of stabilizing that insulin response. We look at, you know, improving their digestion. So, you know, they're absorbing the nutrients from their food. They're eliminating properly. We work on getting their inflammation down in their body. So there's a lot of sort of factors, like the basic health fundamentals, I guess. So we're working on, you know, creating a healthier body, you know, supporting, you know, natural hormone production, supporting ovulation. And then when we get them to that point, you know, I will sort of hand them over to a fertility sort of specialist. But what we're doing is working on, you know, those underlying, I guess, health drivers to make sure that, you know, they're in a good position to, you know, conceive a baby.
Fantastic. So, Kylie, I want to ask you, because I know that you do, you've got the podcast, The Hormone Hub, but if anyone is wanting to work with you, how do they do that?
Yeah, sure. So I have a website, kyliepinwill.com.
People, I got that wrong all the time. Kylie and I had back and forth emails saying, yeah, I can't get your email right.
Yeah, pin, P-I-N-F-I-N-E-L-L, pinwill.com. And of course, I'm on socials as Kylie Pinwill, or you can find me under the Hormone Hub as well.
Wonderful. I really appreciate your time. I'm sure there's listeners out there that would be going, oh my God, that I just needed that just right at this time of my life. And I hope that it's given people food for thought.
Yeah, absolutely.
Pun intended.
Yeah. Boom, boom.
All right. Well, thanks so much, Kylie, for joining us. That's really great.
Thank you so much, Bridget, for having me, and thanks everyone for listening.
Okay, bye for now.